Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show. You just saw the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm at AH Malcolm on Twitter, or X if you prefer. I don't. So it's going to be Twitter for me. Couple of great columns, but I'm going to get to those in a minute. But we got to talk a little bit about Sydney Sweeney still. Donald Trump today, or last night, I guess it was last night.
Sunday night, yes.
Came out and did something very surprising. He endorsed, beautiful women, blue jeans, anything that says American. I mean, they, he was on the tarmac, right? He's on the tarmac and he's being asked by a reporter about Sydney Sweeney, of course, the young actor who is in this New American Eagle jeans ad and is freaking the left out because of her good jeans. And the reporter says, did you know that Sydney Sweeney was Republican, registered to vote as a Republican? And he says, oh, well, now I really like her ad. You know, she's awesome. There's more Republicans than you think. And I'm thinking, this guy is just having fun, right? This guy is enjoying the world's biggest troll. And I'll be damned, this morning I wake up and I had seen that last night. I wasn't going to necessarily write about it. American Eagle stock is up like 20%. And every single media outlet is reporting that Donald Trump is endorsing Sydney Sweeney's ad. And it's like, you guys still really don't get this, do you? You really don't understand what it is that he's doing and how it is you keep falling into the same trap. This is not weird. This is not unusual. Men kind of like pretty women. I mean, it doesn't matter what your age is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I must confess, I don't get the fuss about her, but I do know that it's gold for the gene maker. I mean, it's just, remember many years ago, you probably don't, Ed, because you're so young. Joe Namath posed in a woman's stockings.
Yes, I do recall that. I am old enough to remember when he did that. Yes, in pantyhose.
Yeah, and that got a lot of attention. I mean, this is what, in journalism school, we were taught advertising isn't something different than news. It's news about a product. And therefore, they go together in newspapers. And, you know, it's true. And just as a politician will have a photo op in front of a burned out house or whatever to make his point, advertisers love to get extra attention. I mean, this is absolute gold for American Eagle. And, of course, for her modeling career. I better not say it. I understand the attention to it, and then the media, which, you know, is not about always, is less often about real news and more about attracting clicks. I mean, that's why they have us two handsome guys talking every week.
It might be why I have managed to get Sydney Sweeney's picture at Hot Air every single day, with the exception of yesterday, for the last week or so. You know, there might be something to that, Andrew. I'm not sure. Yeah,
exactly. Pretty good. I mean, they have pretty girls in bikinis sprawled on a new Corvette or whatever. Yeah, to my eyes, it's harmless. I suppose some Karen will find the great harm in it. But I don't understand the phenomenon, but I get it. And Trump, as the master showman that he is, jumped right into it. The reporter on a Sunday night looking for something, anything to write about, because Donald Trump, like Sydney Sweeney, is pure gold. So he wrote about, he asked about Sidney Sweeney, and boom, Trump obliged, which is great for Trump, but great for American Eagle. And the reporter, I doubt if he feels guilty about creating something out of nothing.
Well, and I do have to, I do have to say this though too, that which is, I'm a little uncomfortable about the way her voting registration thing came out. Somebody doxed her along. They produced the record along with her street address. And look, even apart from the politics part of this, that's just dangerous. You know, I'm old enough to remember 40 years ago when a young actress got murdered by a stalker who happened to find out what her home address was. Her name was Rebecca Schaefer. And she was starring on a TV sitcom called My Sister Sam with Pam Dauber, who had just finished up Mork and Mindy a couple of years prior to that. And it was a hit show, and the star got murdered because, you know, because it's dangerous to have that type of information out there. Yeah. So I'm a little unhappy about that.
Yeah. Well, I agree totally with you about the doxing, but I think voting records are public.
They are. No, I agree. Yeah.
And everything I have to, it's not admitting anything, it's stating, throughout my journalism career, I routinely, every few years, change my voter registration to a different party. I've been every kind of party you can imagine except communist. And the point was, if anybody went to look, they would be disappointed, and there would be no consistency. I doubt anybody went to look, so it was really sort of pro forma by me. But I get that somebody would go look. And then if she was a Democrat, they would not write about it. But as a Republican, so they thought they could crap on her image by saying, oh, look, she's one of those crazy right-wing people. She didn't register until what, I think it was 13 months ago. So,
And she's registered in Florida, which is interesting for somebody who's, you know, in the entertainment industry, because that's usually either New York or Los Angeles. But that aside, you know, that's not necessarily the fault of the traditional media anyway, but that aside, I mean, look, I think that Trump comes out, and one of the things that he says, and again, every single media outlet is, you know, oh, Trump endorsed Sidney Sweeney. It's like, why wouldn't he? Why would he not? Why aren't you?
Exactly.
One of the things he says is woke is for losers. And, you know, he slags on Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift doesn't like Trump. So he slags on Taylor Swift. He slags on Jaguar. And that's probably a lot more deserved than Taylor Swift. I don't think other than just Taylor Swift not liking Trump, Taylor Swift kind of stays out of these things. And I just say, let her stay out of it. He slags on Jaguar because of the, you know, the Jaguar ad where, you know, they had all these weirdos. They didn't even have the car. They didn't even show the car. They just showed a bunch of weirdos and said, we're Jaguar. And Jaguar sales, you know, took the predictable nosedive after that. And they fired the CEO. They're trying to, you know.
It's like Bud Light. Yeah.
He mentions Bud Light in the True Social too. Yeah. So you're right. Bud Light. Yeah, exactly. Woke is for losers. I mean, fact check obvious. And the fact that American Eagle, which has had problems, right? Their stock is up like 20% today, and their sales are way up, tells you woke is for losers, and people aren't responding to it. In fact, people are going to respond to people who do anti-woke stuff, which is the reason why Dunkin' Donuts did the same damn thing in reverse with the guy saying, I'm the king of summer. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. By the way, here's a Dunkin' Donuts drink. Awesome.
Well, you know, Governor DeSantis, he's the one who has often said Florida is where woke goes to die. and good for him and good for Florida. And guess what? Trump moved there too. So
yeah,
a lot of people have. It's of course, it may have something to do with no state income tax, but that's
well, that's, it has to do with the fact, it has to do with the fact that the state of New York was going to try to keep charging him with crimes and suing him, and so we decided he wasn't going to pay taxes to this, you know, as well, he still does through his businesses, but he wasn't going to live there any longer, and he booked it out of there. I don't blame him a bit for that. That, but that's also, yes, it's also true that it's in part because of, you know, the wokish type of stuff that's going on there. So, I mean, it's just crazy stuff. And, but what the people don't get is that Trump loves this stuff. He loves doing this. He loves to troll people. And yeah. I mean, I think he was kind of hoping that Jaguar would write a, you know, a tweet back at him, and that Taylor Swift would go boo-hooing to the press. And Taylor Swift is smart enough not to do that, right? She doesn't take the bait. Yeah. She just says, I am too busy counting my next $1 billion from my, you know, fabulous business enterprises. And good for her. Kudos to her, because that's, you know, she's focusing on Travis Kelce. She's focusing on her businesses. That's what she should do. I actually have no beef at all with Taylor Swift, even if she doesn't like Trump and even if she doesn't like Republicans. She just basically stays out of it.
Who cares? I don't care. If when Tom Hanks came out and all gooey about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Who cared? No, I mean, it's a little bit of check mark in the I don't like column as far as Tom Hanks is concerned, but I'm not going to skip a movie or well, I might, but I'm not going to talk about him. They have the right. They have the right to do it, and they have a platform called Fame, which they can use or abuse. Well, all power to American Eagle, and I suspect we're going to see some more American Eagle style ads. Maybe not with Sydney, but with like-minded people. Even if the New York ad people are Democrats, they want to make money.
That's it. I just want them to get back to wanting to make money. I mean, I never thought, you know, in my younger days that I would say, you know what the good old days will be was when Madison Avenue just gets back to being greedy.
Yeah. You know, I saw a tweet, I think it was last week, Cheryl Atkinson. You remember her?
Oh, yeah. She's great.
I love her. Yeah. She tweeted and she said, you know, I was watching TV on Sunday and I actually saw several ads for straight white couples.
Yeah. I mean, look, even with that, you know, because there has been this effort, very clear, deliberate effort to portray multiracial families. I'm totally fine with that. It's just that it's kind of obvious, right? But if that's what people are responding to, if that's how people are responding and buying product, hey, I get it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to respond to the signals, the things that are going to get people to buy product. But most of the stuff that we're talking about, you know, the use of non-traditional models for clothes has been basically a lecture series and saying you shouldn't be looking for beauty.
Right, exactly. You know? And it's the lecture part.
And shame on you.
It annoys the hell out of me. And ads should be humorous, informative, fun to watch. I mean, what does a dog and a horse and buggy have to do with Budweiser? But it's a great symbol. I will always watch a Budweiser ad because I know there's a little emotion in it. And it's pleasant, as opposed to a lot of other stuff you see on television.
Yeah. You know, so the trolling part of this just really tickles my fancy. Anyway, speaking of losers, your column this week is the return of Kamala Harris.
I'm glad you continued. Speaking of losers, Andrew, you wrote a column yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, but I wasn't referring to you. I was referring to the subject of your column. Kamala Harris has returned on the Stephen Colbert Show, which is sort of loser squared, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. That may be why he got canceled.
Yeah, possibly. Well, he was her biggest fan.
Yeah, he was. The thing that intrigues me in that kind of a perverse way, like scratching a mosquito bite, is that Kamala Harris is back trying to get attention by doing nothing. I mean, what has she ever done? Nothing. And which is why so much attention is focused on her faults, her salad speeches, her non sequiturs, her lecturing kids, informing an audience what a computer cloud is. She announced
up in the air.
Yeah.
It's a cloud up in the air.
It's not in your basement anymore. Really? Yeah. And she announced last week that she was not going to run for governor, which is kind of a given. I'm going to get spanked again. This is one of the part of the column. I said, here's how Kamala Harris, the media portrayed her as seriously pondering a run for governor. Give me a break. This is what she did. She did not consult with California union leaders. She did not consult with Democrat Party bigs in California. She did not attend the state Democratic convention recently. She sent a 3-minute meh video. All the other candidates, Antonio Villaraigosa and what's his name, who was the HEW secretary, they were there, of course. The convention was called to plan next year's campaign. If you're going to be in it, you probably want to be there, at least be seen to be there. She wasn't. She also, in preparation for, as she was pondering her California state political campaign, she also attended several weddings in New York and London. She also made the Met Gala in New York, didn't really have much to say about California issues. She said something about the California riots that were like, I forget, it's in the column, but it was something like obviously peaceful. It's which they weren't. You could ask the car repair shop that's working on the police cars. And so it's kind of a given. And now she's talking about, she's referring to, for now, my calling will not be in politics or in elective office. Well, what that does is, she hopes, and I'm sure it will work, is keep her in the media's eye for two reasons. One, she's got a book coming out in September that somebody wrote for her about her campaign.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like, remember George Will, he said, I do not review books that haven't been read by the authors who wrote them. So she's got this book coming out, and I think I smell a publicity tour somewhere. Simon and Schuster says it reads with page like a page turning novel. Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah.
Well, then I said, well, that for sure means it was written by a ghostwriter, not by her. And the other reason is that on the speaking circuit, and nobody is going to sign up for a good speech Oh, she made a lot of money by giving a speech in Australia, all for all the California voters down there.
Yeah.
So she wants to be on the lecture circuit. Yeah, she wants to be on the lecture circuit. So who's going to introduce it? Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, all we have for you is the first female Black vice president who decided that she's not going to run for governor. And she's the first female Black vice president to lose her own political campaign. So give it up for Kamala Harris. You know, I mean, so
I have a sneaking suspicion, by the way, that that book is going to be unburdened by what has been.
Oh, that's a good one. That caught me unaware. That's a good one, Edward. They should.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I may steal that. Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm probably not the first person to come up with that because it's really a pretty obvious. Pretty obvious quip. If I'm the first person to say that, I'd just be surprised. But I will claim to be the first person that said that until somebody proves otherwise. So.
That's right. Exactly. Go for it. I mean, she's not going to run again in, 2028. A bunch of governors are positioning themselves, plus Rahm Emanuel, who is a wily son of a gun. Now, don't count Rahm Emanuel out. Watch him.
Yeah, he's pretty smart.
He's very smart. He's been in the House. He was an aide to Clinton, an aide to Obama, chief of staff, I think. He was a two-term mayor of Chicago. And here's a little story about him. Back in the early to mid-80s, I was the bureau chief for the New York Times in Chicago. Every once in a while, this guy named Rahm Emanuel would stop by the office and would be just before lunch. And he would sort of hint that he was available to talk about Chicago politics. So a couple of times I took him to lunch and he was giving me the some inside skinny on California, on the internal workings of California politics. Now, I wasn't interested in who's sleeping with who or who annoyed the mayor at the time. So I didn't really write about it. And after two or three visits, he realized that he wasn't going to get any publicity out of it. So he stopped coming by. Next thing I know, he's announced as the national finance chair for Bill Clinton's campaign. Yeah. Which was very successful. So he's, you know, he lost a finger in when he was working at Arby's as a kid in the meat cutting machine, which is but that's why he has he has 9.5 fingers. He's smart, and he was Biden's ambassador to Japan, constantly commenting on American politics. And now he's making himself available. He was on with Megyn Kelly and impressed her.
He's a smart guy.
And you know what he's saying?
I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, but he's a smart guy. Yeah.
I know, but you'll find yourself agreeing with, he's like Bill Maher. He's come around on a lot of things like biological boys should not be in girls' locker rooms. I dreamed of that as a teenager, but they should not be there.
I've often thought that too.
Yeah. And so he's coming in as the opposite. Now, he's still an urban. He's not been a governor, which is very appealing. And you look for American voters because they're chief executives. I mean, Bill Clinton, right. George W. Bush, Ronald Reagan.
He was mayor of Chicago for 4 years, and that's a pretty big executive position. Yeah, so at least he's got that. So
and then when he saw the end coming because they were going woke, he departed. So anyway, I have great admiration for his political skills. And even though he's short, I would never underestimate him. Americans like tall presidents. Marco Rubio is not tall.
Right.
James Madison was not tall. But all the other recent ones have been at least 6 foot. I think Jimmy Carter was 5'10", which is about as short as we've gone in recent times. You see the picture of in the debate, Donald Trump shaking hands with Kamala Harris. He almost has to bend over.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but it's there.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So, well, speaking of columns, I had a good time writing that because what I try to do is write off the subject on these things. So while she was in the news, I'm not writing what the news was she makes. I'm trying to fill in the background and explain things more. So yes, she did this, but here's why and here's what it means. So that's what the VIP, I think, should be at Red State.
Yeah, it should be more in depth, and yours always are. Kamala's still angling for attention by doing nothing, as Andrew has it headlined over there. There's also another VIP piece. We didn't get a chance to do much with it today, but it's guess who's kicking Democrats when they're down? Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden showing up to castigate Democrats for not maintaining the fantasy that his father was compos mentis. I mean,
it's just. I understand some people saying, geez, I thought he was rehabbing, but, maybe not, because he's talking.
I think he's still tweaking.
He's talking through his head. These shows take him on. What's surprising, Ed, I guess it shouldn't be, but disappointing, I guess, is that Chuck Todd, formerly Meet the Press, who is personally is a nice guy.
Okay? He is a nice guy. I've met him a couple of times. We've had friendly colloquies. He is a nice guy in person. Yes.
In person, he is a nice guy.
Absolutely. But I agree.
He got captured by woke, and he has a little podcast going on now. Maybe it's a big one. I don't know. But he urged broadcasters, especially podcasters, not to have Hunter Biden on their show because it hurt Democrats.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's not a journalist.
No, that's an activist. Advocate,
which he's been accused of, but that's playing right into it. So anyway, I wrote about Hunter. And when you list, I didn't list all of them, but when you list some of the things he's done, some of the disgusting things he's done. Oh, who would want him opining on anything except what the jail is like inside? It's he got a pardon, but I mean, this guy was knocked up a stripper. He wouldn't pay child support. He's selling phony art paintings, influence peddling.
He's the moral voice of the Democrat Party these days,
right?
Too.
Oh my God. He lied on a federal permit to buy a gun and then lost it like it's the laptop. Oh boy. Anyway, you wonder about parents at a time like that. They don't seem to be doing much.
They seem to be having a difficult time.
Difficult time. That's the way to put it.
Difficult time. They're having difficulties. We're having technical difficulties.
Technical difficulties. So anyway, Ed, I do have a joke this week.
I've got one for you, too. So you start off, though. You get to first.
Well, this is Seth Meyers. He says, two members of Congress made an unauthorized trip to Afghanistan. And they stayed for less than 24 hours before leaving on an evacuation flight. In their defense, that's just how Priceline booked their trip to Cincinnati.
See that one coming. That's good. I like that. I haven't seen that one coming. All right. Here's one for you. And I know you're going to appreciate this. This older, distinguished gentleman comes in with this stunning young girl on his arm, right, into this jewelry store. And he goes up to the salesman and says, I'm looking for a really special ring for my lady. I says, all right. So he takes him over to a display and says, we got these really nice rings. They start about $2,500. He says, no, I want something really special. Okay. So he moves over to another display case and he says, well, we have these here and they start at 10,000. He says, no, man, I don't think you're hearing me. I want something very special for this very special lady. The guy says, I understand. He says, so he takes him to a private room in the back and he says, we have rings here and they start off at $50,000 and they go up from there. So he says, now we're on the same wavelength. He says, he's looking at it. And he chooses one. It's about $100,000. And the young woman is just absolutely agog over this ring. And he says, look, I'm going to write you a check. He says, I know it's a Friday. He says, and the bank's closed by now. He says, I'm going to write you a check and I'm going to come back on Monday and pick up the ring once the check clears. And the jeweler's like, yes, absolutely. We'll put this aside and everything. So the weekend passes, the jeweler calls up the bank and there's no funds in the account. So he calls the gentleman up and he says, what's the deal? There's no funds in the account. He says, yeah, I know that. He says, well, why do we go through all that for? He says, can you imagine the weekend that I just had? there you go.
Hey, I have one more. This okay. is not a joke, but it's a, you know, on online where some people have a real life picture, but then they put in a phony caption.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Those are fun.
So it's an old picture of Bill Parcells talking to Bill Belichick when Belichick was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, which is the early 90s.
Yep.
And Belichick says, So Parcells says to Belichick, so what are you up to these days? And Belichick says, I'm just waiting around for my girlfriend to be born.
I knew that was going to be coming too. And it's true. I don't think she was born until shortly after he started with the Patriots, what? Right?
She's
27. So I think she's 27 yeah. years old. Yeah.
Oh, 98. Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? That was 27, but 28, you know, something like know, that. Yeah.
You know, I'm an old man, so I appreciate such accomplishments.
All I can say is that if there was ever a good reason to win 5 Super Bowls or 6 Super Bowls, whatever it was, that's the reason. It ain't the rings. It ain't the Hall of Fame. It's the hot chick you get to date, I guess. That's the...
Well, I'm sure it's all about true love.
I'm sure it is, too. Yes, I'm certain it is for him.
Yeah.
I'm exactly. not so sure. Well, we'll see. Let's not judge. All right. Well, I can judge about one thing. Andrew Malcolm is the prince of Twitter, the regent of redstate.com. Go to redstate.com to read what he's writing over there in the VIP section, and go to Twitter to find out what he's talking about on social media, where he reigns supreme. Andrew Malcolm, thanks so much for another great episode. We're going to have to come back in about 3 weeks. I'm taking a week and a half off. So we'll come back in three weeks.
3 weeks. All right. We'll see you then. See everybody. I hope you can hang in until then.
Yeah, but if you can't, just dial me up, and I'm probably not doing anything on my vacation anyway. So we'll just do it.
Go to the archives. They're huge between Ed and I.
There you go. We got 18 years of archives. So there you go. Or 17 years of archives. All right. Andrew Malcolm, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Bye, Ed. Take care.